There is danger outside lurking, just as there is for us also at present. At least they could see the adversaries. But then again, they couldn't just wash their hands of them, as we are encouraged to do with our adversaries in the coronavirus. The disciples are afraid, just as many are during these days. And there are lessons for us from their experience. And we find those lessons particularly in words, the various words that Jesus speaks. The first one is the greeting that Jesus gives. He says it three times in the course of that reading. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Three times. The peace that the Lord gives is not about keeping us free of danger or distress. It's about giving us peace within the dangers or the distress that we may be facing. I read once about an art competition where artists had to depict the theme of peace. And there were some lovely paintings of peaceful landscapes, lakes, and sunsets. But the painting that won the first prize was of a raging sea with waves crashing against a high rock cliff. And on that rock face, in a tiny crevice, there sits a bird on its nest, safe, secure, and at peace. In the words of a hymn, the storm may roar around me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? God is round about me. The secret to peace is the presence of God, the presence of Jesus. If we know for sure within our hearts that he indeed is with us, then we will know his peace, no matter what our outer circumstances may be. If we are certain that we are not alone, then we can know peace. It's rather like a young child who is scared of something, scared of the dark, scared of dogs maybe. But if that child is with his mother or his father, he can be at peace, even in the midst of the dark, or even in the presence of a big dog. Speaking of the dark, in Native American culture, young men go through a process of initiation when they are approaching adulthood. Part of the initiation is what is called the vigil. And so the father of the young man will take him in the evening to a remote place in the wild. And there, as night falls, he will leave him to keep vigil on his own through the dark night, the hours of darkness, and in the presence of dangers from the wild. When the light eventually begins to dawn around him, the young man looks around, and there he sees his father who had been there right through the hours of that night. And we too have one who is with us, even though we may not realize it, even though we cannot see him. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus says to his friends, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But notice what Jesus has said just before that. He has been talking about coming back to be with his disciples by the Holy Spirit. He's been speaking of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send to them. He says, the Father and I will come to you and will make our home with you. As we are reminded at Christmas time, he is Emmanuel, God with us. In these days when we are not able to worship together, it's good to know that the presence of God is not limited to a church building. He has promised to be with us wherever we are. And he says to us, he says to you and me, as he did to his friends, peace be with you. I'm reminded of the words of another old hymn, peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown, ? Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but peace is found. Peace, perfect peace with loved ones far away. In Jesus' keeping, we are safe, and they. Jesus assures us of that peace that comes from knowing that he is with us, that he is present. The second truth that comes through Jesus' words is when he says to Thomas, look at my hands and my side. In all, there are three references in that passage to these wounds of Jesus. And I ask myself, why the emphasis on these marks of Jesus' crucifixion? Wouldn't it have been enough for the disciples to recognize Jesus by his facial features and his voice, both of which they knew so well? And after all, the disciples had never seen Jesus in this condition with those marks. So why the emphasis on those scars? I think it's because, very simply, those scars speak about his love, his infinite love for his friends. He himself had said, also just the night before his death, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He has just done that. He has laid down his life, expressing that greater love, of which there is nothing greater. Maybe those wounds of Jesus are his way of saying, things may be different now. I'm no longer with you in bodily form, but what has not changed is my love for you. And here is visible evidence of that love. These marks of my crucifixion are to remind you of that great love. The love that was there in the past, the love that will continue into the future. And his love is there for us as it was for them. In the immortal words of Paul, there is nothing in all creation which will ever be able to separate us from his love. Nothing in life or death, nothing in the present or the future. And those symbols of Christ's suffering speak also, don't they, of how he remains familiar with suffering. Isaiah spoke of a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And Jesus reminds his disciples, as he reminds us, that he continues to understand the very deepest pain and agony that we may suffer. He carries with him the reminders of his suffering. And so he feels for us in our suffering. He is acquainted with it, and he feels it deeply. As he continues to carry those symbols of his pain and anguish, so he carries ours also. In our Protestant tradition, we display an empty cross in our churches, don't we? As you can see behind me. In order to remind us that Jesus was raised from death and the cross is now empty. In the Catholic tradition, of course, the practice is to display the body of Jesus on the cross, a reminder of his death and suffering. I wonder sometimes if we have not lost something by not being reminded of that suffering of Jesus in seeing his body on the cross. A visible reminder that his love will stop at nothing. Maybe we should display both of those in our churches. There is one last truth, and it comes also through some words that Jesus speaks. As the Father sent me, he says, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. You see, Jesus' assurance of his love and his presence with the disciples doesn't mean that they can now simply remain in their place of safe refuge. They need to be able to step out into the world in faith and trust. And to empower and encourage them, he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, my presence with you. And Jesus says to us also, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He wants us to carry the message of his loving presence and of his peace to others. And even in these days of isolation and lockdown, we can do that with those who may be with us in our homes, but also beyond our homes to others, through our phone calls, through our messages, through kind deeds. In these days of so much anxiety and turmoil, people desperately need to see and to know the peace and the love of Jesus embodied in us. Last week, I recorded the service for Easter Sunday on Good Friday. There's a lesson there, isn't there? In the midst of a Good Friday atmosphere in the world, we need to be Easter Sunday people. We need to be resurrection people in a Good Friday world. In the darkness, to be his agents of light. In a world of anxiety, to be the embodiment of his peace. And in a world of isolation and loneliness, to be bearers of his great love to others. And so will you pray with me. Let us hear again his words. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And let us hear again his instruction, receive the Holy Spirit. Open your hearts, your lives afresh to the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And so, as we are commissioned and as we are empowered, in the words of St. Francis, Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, may we sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. May we not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.